All right, good evening and welcome to the program. Glad you are with us. Joining me tonight is going to be Bill Jasper of The New American. We'll be joined by David Pine. China has put up about over 30 satellites in the last 6 months. That's another sign they're preparing for war. We'll tell you what it is they will probably do within hours of going to war with the United States. Wes Peters will join us, talk about what's going on with the Federal Reserve and so much more when it comes to the economy. And then we got to get a report also from our friend, economist, the professor himself, attorney Dan Eastman, will check in on what's going on with the economy, because that's all the buzz, right? Everybody's talking about the banks, the economy, the Federal Reserve, interest rates, and more. We'll get into all that tonight. And we'll see what else comes along as well. Joining me first is, however, William Jasper. I never know if I call him William or Bill. Mr. Jasper, welcome to the broadcast. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Bill is fine.
All right.
Works fine.
All right. Thank you, Bill. Good to have you with us again. Good to see you again. Let's get right to it. A lot of news stories. The International Criminal Court has indicted Putin, correct? What do you make of this?
Correct. Yes. Yes, so that's a big deal. The International Criminal Court has been in operation now for 20 years, and I was there at the Rome summit of the International Criminal Court when it was created by the United Nations and reported on it extensively, and was very much opposed to it back then, and even now, even though we have a mega villain being indicted, this is a very precarious thing for the United States. This is the International Criminal Court, the ICC, is a major assault on national sovereignty. And the fact that we have someone who is now being universally presented as a villain makes the criminal court, the ICC, seem somewhat more palatable to a lot of people.
Well, what is the danger of this? I mean, under the International Criminal Court, couldn't they at some point indict you or me, Bill?
Absolutely. Great question. That's exactly the problem. And that is why the Senate refused to ratify it. And I have to say that the New American Magazine was the only organization, conservative organization, that was there reporting on the criminal court in Rome. And before that, we began monitoring it several years before that. But there were many people in the Republicans and even conservatives that thought this was a good deal. We explained, look, the push to empower the United States, the United Nations legislatively, executively, and judicially has been underway for a long time to turn the United Nations into a world government, making them essentially the Supreme Court of the world in criminal matters is a very scary proposal. It gives them the ability to charge individuals anywhere in the world, including United States citizens. And if we are a party to the treaty, we haven't ratified it yet, but if we do, and President Biden wants us to do that, President Clinton tried to do it, we were able to stop him. But if that happens, then you, me, any American could be indicted and brought before a UN tribunal, the ICC, and would have none of the protections under our Constitution, none of the procedural protections, none of the due process. So that is a major, major attack on Americans' freedom.
And of course, I'm guessing one way they could go after someone like you or me would be particularly under hate crime laws. They could use some of the hate crime laws, whether we're talking speaking the truth about Islam or the LGBTQ agenda. They could use any of these to say we're involved in hate speech and drag us to The Hague.
Right. I mean, we're already seeing that happen in Canada and in many countries in Europe. And the European Union judicial system is very friendly to prosecuting Christians or conservatives who express politically incorrect ideas that they consider hate speech. So That would be a very real possibility if this is carried forward any further. And with the Putin indictment, it certainly is going to receive an impetus for expanding the control and the jurisdiction of the ICC.
Let's talk about Biden's veto of the anti-ESG bill. Explain to our audience who maybe don't remember what that means.
Okay, well, ESG has really just come on to most Americans' radar screens in the past few months or in the past couple of years, but it's really been underway for over 20 years at the United Nations, at the World Economic Forum, and at other globalist gatherings. ESG stands for Environment, Social, and Governance, ESG. Considerations in investment and in business and banking, finance, and really what it is, I consider it, and many others who've been looking at it consider it to be an imposition of the Chinese Communist Party's social credit system here in the United States. And the World Economic Forum and the big globalist corporations and banks, which are the main proponents of this, consider BlackRock, Goldman Sachs, Citibank, Citigroup, JP Morgan Chase, Carlyle Group. These are the big financial giants that are pushing this. And they say, well, this is because we need to move into a new kind of capitalism. They call it stakeholder capitalism, in which all of these considerations, environmental considerations, in other words, your company, your fund, your business has to be supporting the politically correct views on global warming, climate change, biological diversity. That's the environmental component. All of those things, you have to be in favor of all of their social agenda, which means transgenderism, LGBTQ, LMNOP, race considerations. All of those things have to be in the social component. And then in the governance component, they say, well, in governance, you have to show that you have good governance principles in how your business is structured and in its transparency and how it treats its customers. And this is really a giant scam. Elon Musk said it very well when he pointed out in one of his Twitter feeds a few weeks ago. He said ESG is a giant scam for fake social justice. And yes, really what it is for companies to be able to woke wash all their policies.
It's social credit scores for corporations. Individuals will have social credit scores. Corporations will have social credit scores, but they'll be called ESG, and they're right in line with Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, sustainable development, as you're saying. So any of the free market capitalist guys that don't want to get on board with all of the radical environmental, as you said, to social justice, to the cultural Marxist, to the whole political race, gender thing, they're not going to get contracts. So they'll be discouraged from getting local, state, federal contracts.
They don't want banks to even give loans to them.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
If they put this, so you wouldn't be able to conduct your business.
Right. You wouldn't get the credit you need.
You'd be able to
have
an account. They could cancel you.
Yes. Yes. They could cancel you. Couldn't even have an account. Which that brings us to the banking. Let's talk about this banking collapse that's going on. I've got Wes Peters coming on. I've got Professor Dan Eastman coming on. I've just added Leo Holman for an update with some breaking news that Leo just finished bringing to my attention tonight. So we've just added Leo Holman, guys. But I want to talk about the finance thing with you as well. What do you make of this?
Well, I'll be very glad to hear what your other guests are saying, because this is a big, big story. And of course, this is what everybody's concerned about. In my view, what we are seeing now is not a big surprise. It's what we have been expecting. And I believe it's been pretty well scripted out. The World Economic Forum and the Basel Group of banks and the various banker meetings that have been taking place, for instance, every summer with the Jackson Hole Group, if you look at what they've been saying, they've been pushing this idea that we need to move into a central bank digital currency, a CBDC. And they, I believe, really want to collapse the current banking system. And again, as with the ESG, make us more like China, where the government really runs everything, and the government and the big corporations basically merge, which is what we have been seeing over the last several years with their PPP, the public-private partnerships. And so, again, this squeezes out all of the independent businesses and banks, all of the mom and pop businesses who don't have those political connections. And so I believe we're going to see a big move with this current banking situation to push us into the CBDC. And then, and not just for originally CBDC, central bank digital currency, we were told was only going to be effective for the banks. They would use it for their daily transactions to make them. But now they're talking about what we knew all along, that everyone will be dependent on CBDC. You won't have cash anymore. This is part of the central point of the war on cash. You won't have any of that ability for anonymity in your transactions. You're not going to be able to actually have anything physically to hold on to, because everything will be just digitized and it can be evaporated, taken away from you on a moment's notice.
And so what do you think, quickly, quick answer, because I want to get to something about Jeffrey Epstein. What do you think is going to happen with all this debt? We call this the Great Reset. I mean, what is going to happen to all the debt? I mean, a lot of people think, oh, well, this would be great. All the debt will go away. No, someone's going to buy it, right? Someone's going to buy the debt. You're still going to have the debt to pay, but you may not have the bank account to pay it with, because in the small print, it's not your money. It's the bank's money. So you may lose your money. Now they're saying, of course, they want to make sure everybody's insured $250,000 or below. But Yellen has now come out and said, well, we're going to decide who we insure $250,000 and above. We'll make that decision randomly. But of course, we have to remember the FDIC does not have enough money to bail everybody out, so they would have to go to Congress. Their fund has almost already been used up with what just happened. They'd have to go to Congress for more money. So there is no guarantee. But let me just say to those who think the great collapse and bankruptcy would mean all of their debts forgiven, wrong, correct?
Well, correct. And, you know, it gets a bit complicated here on how they're going to work this out. But as you pointed out, they are very much taking liberty to deal with this as they see fit, not according to the laws. They're violating most of our laws with regard to the FDIC, with the Securities and Exchange Commission, et cetera. And, you know, when we look at just the Silicon Valley Bank, we had lots of corporations that had multi-million dollar loans in there. Why should the rest of the shareholders and taxpayers be on the hook for that? They knew that the limit was $250,000, and yet they still, like Roku TV and other Silicon Valley tech companies and whatnot, these are wealthy companies, and they took the risk and left their money unprotected there. They didn't buy their own insurance on it. So, we shouldn't be on the hook for that.
Yeah, definitely not. All right, let's talk about Jeffrey Epstein. What's going on there?
Well, again, it brings us back to the banking sector. A couple of weeks ago, we've done a couple of articles at the New American on this. It didn't get a whole lot of news, but for a couple of cycles, it did. The Virgin Islands brought a lawsuit against J.P. Morgan Chase, and specifically against Jamie Dimon, the CEO, calling upon the release of documents concerning J.P. Morgan Chase's basically covering of Jeffrey Epstein's business for over a decade and facilitating his sex trade, his sex trafficking with minors, including children as young as 12 years old. And so this had been going on for a long time. It was well known within the J.P. Morgan Chase leadership, including Jamie Dimon. They had monitors there who had all J.P. Morgan Chase was already on a non-prosecution agreement with the Department of Justice for having violated numerous, made many criminal rigging of the exchanges, various felony charges that they had pleaded out of and had been given sweetheart deals on. And so they were required to have a have monitors checking on all their investments. So they knew that Jeffrey Epstein, the sex fiend, the sex pervert, who was quite obviously, according to my read of things, we've done a number of stories on this, was an intelligence agent. And he was working for the deep state. And he had connections both to the CIA, to the Mossad, to the KGB, and to the British MI6. And so Jeffrey Epstein was running a very big deep state intelligence operation, particularly involved in ensnaring business executives, banking and finance executives, academic and scientific high-level people. And so now we're seeing that there is a big connection here with all of the things that are happening in the banking sector and in many of our business corporate dealings that are all coming together. And it appears that not only are many of these top leaders of business and banking and whatnot, globalists who are sympathetic to all this world government movement, but when push comes to shove, they can be pressured, they can be leveraged to move and to say and to do things that the globalist deep state operatives want them to do.
And you're saying that's so because are you saying that's because they're compromised and on video?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And does this go across all spheres of influence, media, finance, politics?
Absolutely. Jeffrey Epstein was quite the charmer and for two decades was the social climber, getting into all of these different areas.
Was he CIA presenting or Mossad or CIA or both?
Well, it appears that he was both. It's very solid that he was CIA, and Ari Ben-Menashe, who was a former Mossad agent, still is, some people say, says that he was one of Epstein's handlers. But the Mossad cannot operate here in the United States on a level like that, going years, decades. Without the approval of the CIA and the FBI,
so,
the knowledge and approval.
So
there are connections there as well.
So will any of these videos or names ever come out?
Well, that's a possibility. That's a real possibility. And I think that is one of the things that could break open a lot of very important things that we've been trying to piece together. Those of us who look at these things and say, why are all of these high level political, economic, financial, business leaders, why are they making these moves and why are they behaving in this way? We see now that with the Epstein files, and which are growing, that there are some very dark forces in operation here.
Do you know when I think those are most, I mean, they could come out anytime, but you know one opportune time they would be to come out would be right before we go to war with Russia and China, that the videos are dropped of key financial and political leaders, in very compromising positions. That was part of the Soviet, you probably know this, that was part of the Soviet plan during the Cold War, was right before they went to war, they would make sure that they would discredit the leaders of the countries they were going after. So can you imagine what would happen along with all the other turmoil going on if they start dropping videos of well-known media, financial, and political leaders, so the American people go, you know what? Here we are going to war, and we can't trust any of these people that they're not, you know, absolutely most some of the most disgusting people on the planet. I'm not talking about people engaging in legal, even though it may be immoral behavior. I'm not talking about people engaging in immoral but legal behavior. I'm talking about people engaging in illegal behavior that I still think a majority of the American public is not ready to, and I hope will never accept.
Well, I think you're probably right in that respect. And in addition to what we know with regard to Epstein, many of these same leaders, financial, business, political, have also been going back and forth to China, to Beijing. And prior to 2014, with the invasion of Crimea, of Ukraine, to Russia as well. And so, you know, during the 2016 presidential race and after, we know how the deep state went totally after Donald Trump, claiming he was Russia collusion, Russia collusion, Russia collusion. Well, many of his opponents who are trying to destroy him have been involved in Russia collusion and China collusion for decades. And so all of the big banks and all of the big tech and all of the big business have set up, you know, big factories and R&D facilities and university chairs in China. And I'm sure many of them have been compromised over and over again over there as well, because Chinese intelligence is second to none in those kinds of operations.
And then finally, is Epstein dead or alive?
Well, I'm quite sure that he's dead. There are people who have posited that his death may have been faked, that he is still alive. That's a possibility. I think that he had become a liability, and that
I mean, there's two cameras on the cell. Who killed him? I mean, you have to be pretty powerful to get away with that, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, the whole circumstances of his death and how everything happened to coincidentally work out, that there were no witnesses there, that the cameras didn't work, that the cellmate was moved, all of those things, you know, they can get many people to believe that, oh, yeah, well, we just had a whole series of coinkydinks, and one of the most important cases that was going to come up for trial. So he was on suicide watch, but somehow he accomplished it anyway. Now, I think it's very clear, and it's not only him, but his buddy over in France, Jean-Pierre Brunel, the model agency man who provided him with many of the underage girls for his exploits. He, of course, ended up dead in his jail cell as well, as have a number of other people who could have testified against him or who were business partners and now are not around to reveal anything.
Tell us about your website, what they'll find there, please.
Okay, well, hopefully by the time we get off here, the website will be back up. TheNewAmerican.com was down for a couple of hours today, and it was we just moved to a new, bigger, better, faster server, and are having some technical difficulties. I just went on right before before I came on the program, and unfortunately, it was not up right then. So, I've been assured that it will be up very, very soon, and it'll be better than ever. TheNewAmerican.com.
TheNewAmerican.com. As always, we appreciate everything you're up to over there, William.
Thank you. It's a pleasure, Brandon.
Bill Jasper checking in, folks. Check out their site, TheNewAmerican.com. And as many of you know, I helped to distribute and produce their show, their daily show, The New American TV. It's over on my site at WVWTV.com. Every day, an hour show, The New American TV, the joint partnership between my broadcast team, WVW-TV, and The New American. It's called The New American TV. It's an hour every day over there at WVW-TV.com.